Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Roddy McLeod will join us coming up at 1 o'clock. We look forward to talking to him in 10 minutes. We go nonstop this segment for a good while. Brought to us by Ocean City Golf Getaway. Ocean City, Maryland is the hottest golf destination in the Mid-Atlantic. Never too early to plan your trip. Book your next golf getaway at OceanCityGolf.com. It almost looked like, John, that the Atlanta Falcons were going to get going to golfing mode soon. Well, not quite, but they looked like they were maybe staring at 0-2. And Matt Ryan was, let me just say quickly on Matt Ryan. We've been all eagled up, meaning conversation, aggravation. But look, I root for Matt Ryan. I went to Penn Charter. Matt Ryan went to Penn Charter. He's obviously a good NFL quarterback. But man, he something just seems to be missing. He's good, but he's not that good. And I'm telling you, John, he really almost handed the Eagles that game back last night. I mean, I root for the guy. I really do. But, man, he's not that great. Now, I'm a fan. I like him. Everyone says he's a wonderful person. That's good to hear. But, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Well, he makes mistakes.
Yeah.
But he's so they do not do him any favors. The injury, the demigods of injury in Atlanta that have decimated his offensive line year after year.
Yeah.
They tried to do him right this season, bringing – you know, a whole new offensive line in there pretty much. And everyone gets hurt, goes down. He's got great weapons and no one to protect him while he tries to get the ball to those great weapons. So you got to take that into account.
Yep. Probably going to be Hall of Famer someday, Joe. I know.
No, he's not going to be a Hall
of Famer. He's 11th all-time in passing yards.
Doesn't
MVP trophy.
Not a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he is, but I think there's a good chance if he could. He could have like 6-7 years left, man. He could be like top three all time in passing yards, top four or something like that.
Frank Gore Hall of Famer is fourth all time in rushing.
Yeah, I think Frank Gore is going to be a Hall of Famer.
I don't.
Yeah, I think he will be.
Yeah,
I don't, but we'll see. All right, to the phones we go. 888-72. I couldn't believe that when I heard this weekend Frank Gore's fourth.
It's crazy.
Talk about an accumulator. Has that guy been in the top 10 of MVP voting once in his career? I mean, come on. Well, we got bigger fights to fight today. And then namely, Ronald Darby, do your job!
Ronald Darby, definitively not a Hall of Famer.
I mean, my God! And here I am telling everyone to breathe at the start of the show, and the more I talk, the more aggravated I get. All right, Roddy McLeod will join us coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mac in Broomall. Hey, Mac.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I told the screener that one thing that I noticed, and I kept screaming, when they, with something like a minute 13 left, and he completed the pass, got the ball to the, I think, the 18-yard line, they didn't try one run.
I thought that, too. First or second down, they could have ran. Yep.
Yeah, and then could you imagine they just throw a draw in there? I mean, he might have got 8 yards or something. Now they're really, and the clock's running down, now they're really in panic mode, and that would force the Falcons to call another timeout, or else we score and leave them with nothing. So I just don't know why they didn't try that when they have some workhorse backs that can, like you were saying earlier, can carry people with them after the first hit. I don't know why they didn't try that. That was my frustration.
Yep, I thought it too. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Mac, we appreciate the call, buddy. Let's go to JJ in Wilmington. Hey, JJ. JJ. All right, JJ, go ahead, dude. All right, we'll come back to him. Maybe his phone's acting weird. Raymond in Delaware. What's up, Raymond?
It's Raimondo. What's going on?
Raimondo. I'm sorry. I read it wrong. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Tubby Raymond, Delaware. Delaware legendary coach. All right, what do you got, Raimondo? I'm sorry.
Oh, man. The play calling. You can't be afraid playing in that secondary. You cannot be scared being a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking more so that he's coming off of surgery because I've had knee injuries before. So it's the mental aspect of getting your body back to where it used to be.
Maybe.
And you're afraid of tearing. No, trust me. If you had several meniscus tears, and the first thing is, okay, you feel great physically. But it's the mental aspect of bouncing back, of letting your body do what you would normally do with reckless abandonment and with speed. It takes time. So I'm giving that aspect to him. But other than that, you can't be second-guessing yourself playing in that second.
Well, here's the thing, though, Romano. You might be all right there, okay? I totally get it.
We don't know him. He might be.
He might. That's why I say he might be. But, Romano, here's the deal. If this continues much longer, they got to take him out of the starting lineup.
He got to be out of there. He got to get out of there.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got to perform better.
I agree.
Now, Jalen Mills isn't eligible to play for four more games, but I'll tell you this. I did not expect to be counting down to Jalen Mills as much as I am, but I am now.
He certainly did not deserve 89% of the snaps yesterday.
Exactly, with the way he was playing yourself on that one.
Yeah.
And Carson, I also blame the play calling, but Carson has to know there's three things you do when you're a quarterback. You assess the play. You see that you don't have nothing. Get rid of the ball and don't take no unnecessary hits. Take it from, how you say, RG3, look what happened to him. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton, look what happened to him. He's taking too many hits.
He's taking way too many. Way too many hits.
Exactly. And I felt just like you did last night, we're going to lose that game. I just had that same feeling.
Yeah. And by the way, you can probably make the case if this thing had been in Philly, Eagles probably would have won. I mean, I do think that home field advantage just swung it just enough, and they lose the game. JJ in Wilmington. Yo, JJ.
Hey, yo, what's up, guys?
Hi, JJ.
So I was down there last night, and most of the hits that Carson was taking, man, and it wasn't anything really off schedule. It was mostly things in the pocket. So, that's just him trying to stand in the pocket and make plays. I mean, the first half, the first quarter, again, like the team only had the ball, I say, 1.5 times because they had it for one possession, and then leading into their second possession, I believe, was at the end of the first quarter. So for whatever reason, we're just limited getting touches in the first quarter.
They pretty much are always on defense because the other team either takes the ball or the Eagles, you know, defer. So that happens not every week, but almost every week.
Right, but what I could notice from, I was sitting on the Eagles sideline, I was two rows up off the behind the bench, and what I could notice was as soon as we were all of us in my section, we were all freaking out because, you know, Alshon had his helmet off, and then Deshaun wasn't, no one could see Deshaun, and you couldn't figure out what was going on with these guys in there because they weren't putting any updates on the stadium.
Right.
And once we saw Hollins and JJ go in repeatedly, I mean, I remember one back shoulder fade to JJ or Sega Whiteside down the sideline.
He didn't even look for it.
Yep. Never even got his head around it.
Yeah, right.
So, and then I remember another one, too, where Mac Hollins was supposed to run a deep dig, and he sat down instead of continuing to come across, and Carson had rolled out of the pocket, and he was supposed to be coming across the field, but he had sat down in the middle of the field.
Right.
So,
got to read man or zone. You got to read coverage. These receivers, they need to be seeing the field with Carson's eyes, and it sounds like they didn't get reps at the specific receiver positions that they ended up having to play in this game. So they didn't have any reps during the week at doing what they were doing in the game. They were not seeing it with the same eyes as Carson was, so they're running completely different routes. You know, it's
correct,
like Carson didn't even have a chance, which begs the question, when you have that much discombobulation at the receiver position, why do you not just hand the ball off more?
Exactly.
Yep.
My exactly.
JJ, I got one question for you related to you being at the game last night. I've heard from a few different people that something went to Falcons and the roof it was not closed, and then it became closed, and then something about the humidity and people are wondering.
Dude, it was the stupid roof was open the whole time. It was so hot, man. I mean, as soon as I got out of there, I had to change my clothes because I was soaking wet. My hat is ruined because the brim of my hat is so wet. It was so freaking hot down there on the field level. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I know people have wondered if that led to some of the Eagles' injuries. I don't know, but I've heard from a bunch of people now, a handful of people, I should say, something about the heat in there. All right, JJ, we'll appreciate the call.
This night.
You know.
I mean, they just got done playing football all summer outside in the day when it's a lot hotter. You can handle it. This injury thing, it is, yes, a lot of bad luck, but also just the decisions, the lack of aggressiveness with getting guys back on the field, it's troubling.
Let's go out on the Schwartz-Cullerton guest line right now. If you're injured at work, get Justice. Call Schwartz-Cullerton at 800-JUSTICE. He was in the game playing all the plays last night, and, of course, he joins us every Monday at this time, win or lose. And we always appreciate when he comes on the show, even after the loss, because it's not as fun for him or us. But he's a great guy, and he was in the action last night, Mr. Rodney McLeod. How you doing today, Rodney?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Rodney, it's a rough day for everyone.
Yep.
Were the conditions different last night than what you expected with the heat and the roof being open?
No, I don't think that had anything to do with it. You know, it was a nice night out, man. You know, nice dome. I don't think the weather had anything to do with it. Timing wasn't an issue. It was a great game, man. Two good teams going at it, and you know, we came up on the other side of things, and we just got to get back to work. That's really it. But you know, we learn from this, we build, and we continue to push on.
Ronnie, when you're walking off the field last night, and maybe you just addressed some of that, but what were you feeling when that game just initially ended? I'm just curious. I mean, there was so much that happened. What was going through your mind walking off that field?
Yeah, it was you know, disappointing feeling. Every game we go into, we expect to win, and that's how we prepare. That's our mindset when we take that field. We feel like we're the better team, and you know, you got to tip your hat to Atlanta, man. We've been playing each other tough for the past 3 years, and
right. It
came down to the wire again. And it's really a game of inches, and that's what it came down to. You know, on our side, as far as defensively, man, we played aggressive all night long, and you know, at the end of the day, they made a great call. They made a good adjustment and put it in their playmaker's hands. And so, you know, we'll learn from that. We'll look at the tape. But it's a long season, man. It's no need to hang our heads. We understand who we are and what we can do. We're fighters, man, and we prove that 100%. I think we do that each and every week.
How much more than usual? You talk about the defense being aggressive. How much more than normal did you guys blitz last night?
We blitzed a lot more than usual. I think that was all determined by what we've seen on film from them the week before in the Minnesota film and how they attacked Atlanta. We kind of gave them a variety, you know, of different coverages and things to look at so that you know, they were off balance. And we felt like it worked. It was effective. It made some plays for us. And at the end of the day, you know, it also cost us at the end. You know, but hey, that's us. We're going to stay aggressive. That's who we are, and we're going to be attacking defense, and we're going to make a lot more plays than not.
So in the grand scheme, when you look at the whole game in total, was the blitz successful? Were the results more good, or were they more bad?
I would say, I mean, they were in our favor. We caused some turnovers off it. We allowed them not to necessarily be on rhythm. They missed a few throws because of the pressure that we applied. So I liked our game plan going into it, and I think it was effective.
How can our blitzers get better at blitzing?
I mean, I think that just comes with, you know, continued practice, us, you know, doing extra. Whoever that might be, working on our craft and perfecting it. I think that's what it all comes down to.
Does it feel like, you know, because it's not a staple necessarily of the defense, that guys do have work to do to where they could, you know, hone that a little better than what they put out there last night?
No, not necessarily. I think everything that we typically run, we prep and we run all week. So we understand and we line it up against a multitude of formations, and guys are prepared and know what to expect. So I don't think that was the issue last night.
Hey, Rodney, you had a real nice breakup. It's somewhat early in the game on a third down. Julio Jones, you got in there and disrupted the play. When he could have caught it. And I'm curious, in a moment like that, are you conscious in your mind, I can't hit him a certain way for a penalty? Because it looked like you went in new school way to make sure your helmet's not there and stuff like that. Is that in your mind as you're approaching the player in a moment like that?
No, not necessarily. I thought about the hit, but then I also looked at it and felt like I could have made a play on the ball. My job is to get the ball any way possible. So in that situation, I wasn't even thinking about hitting him. I was more so going for the ball. So it is something that goes through your mind when you are aiming to hit those guys and making sure your target level is at a good place. I know, when I came under pressure with Matt Ryan, I thought about that in my approach and how I would hit him. Just knowing where the game's going, sure, and how they make these calls. That is something that's, in your mind as a defender now, because you don't want to, get a big play call back. And obviously Ronald Darby made a big play for us. So the last thing I wanted to do is, end up having that play, be called back, mm-hmm, because of my decision.
What was the biggest difference that you can point out between the Falcons team you prepared for that you expected on tape from week one and the Falcons team that you guys played on the field last night?
I mean, I think we knew who we were going to get. We weren't necessarily fooled by what they showed and what they displayed versus Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. We understand what that group could do, the caliber of receivers they have, the ability they have, from an offensive standpoint, and even defensively. They're a good group, man. And, so they gave us their best. We knew that's what we were going to get. We gave them our best, man, and like I said, you got to just tip your hat to them. They came away with the victory, but, I know we're going to see them later down the line. That's a good team, and mm-hmm, I'll be looking forward to it when it happens.
Rodney, watching that game on television last night, my sense was that it was more physical than the average NFL game. Look, every game's physical. It's freaking NFL football. But did you feel that last night? There were some huge hits, and you had one on Ridley. I mean, there were some big hits in that game last night.
Yeah, man. I think you've seen, a great battle of two teams just competing, man, and the will to win and determination. And, I think, on our side of the bar, our job was to go out there and set the tone, man, and make some statements. That's where our focus was. And I think vice versa, they were out to do the same thing. They're playing behind that home crowd and first home opener for them. So, That was a great game to be a part of. I really enjoyed it. I think, a couple of times me and Michael was out on the field, like, man, you got to love this. You know what I'm saying? We're the best in the world doing it, and it's a battle right now. I think that's the way you want it.
Has this become a rivalry between the Eagles and the Falcons? It looked like a rivalry game, like one for the ages type game last night. Is it bigger than what it was 3 years ago?
Man, every game is big, but like I said, I think we just know each other so well, and we just match up well with one another. So, you just seen two great teams going at it.
Well, you got a better chance to see them in the playoffs than the Redskins or Giants, I'll tell you that. Well, Rodney, look, man, I think we're going to have a different conversation, gut feeling, next week on Monday following the Lions game. We shall see. Best of luck, obviously, in your recovery from the game and getting prepped up for Detroit. And I know you got some banged-up teammates. We're hoping for the best for all you guys. And we'll talk to you next week, Ronnie. Always appreciate it. Again, win or lose, you always answer the questions and do so with class. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, there Ronnie. He is, Ronnie McLeod on the Swartz Skeleton guest line. Not the easiest spot for a player. You lose a game, last thing you probably feel like doing is, quite frankly, coming on WIP and having to address a bunch of questions that, for the most part, are negative in nature. And he handles it really, really, really well. 888-729-9494. Let's talk to AT in Overbrook Park. What's up, AT?
Man, I'm heated, man. Listen, this is my opinion. Let me Okay, first of all, we need to establish a dominant run game. We got the horses up front and we got the backs, but yet we keep coming in this crazy-looking shotgun formation, putting all the burden on Carson to make these heroic plays, letting the defense get shots on him because we drop him back. And then when we do run, it's like 5 yards tops. You know, we're not smash-mouthing for 7 and 8, making easy second and twos. Everything's hard. And it's taking a toll on a quarterback. He's getting hit. He's getting hit after he throws. It's not just a sack. You get hit even when you release the ball. So he's open season. And then, okay, so I put the onus on Doug. Like, you know, like you got to – and then I don't like the offensive coordinator. I don't like him, man. He's not getting it done, man. These slow starts. You don't short with talent in the second half. The talent was there in the beginning of the game. It's philosophical. It's their philosophy on offense. This crazy-looking shotgun formation that they're trying to do these little crazy-looking runs out of, it's not working. It's not establishing a dominant run game. Yeah. Instead, the defensive line, Atlanta got defensive tackles I've never even heard of. They're showing fifth-round picks on the screen. Like, they teeing off on us because, you know, it's easier to – when you run block, they say the offense is asserting its line. When you pass block, the defense teeing off. So, you know, we letting our horses get teed off.
You're bringing up a lot of great points. All right, John, let's get to that. The Eagles run game, and we touched on this briefly earlier, but just if you could for a second here. The Eagles, and I know it's more than one reason. The Eagles run game last night struggled. Why? When they chose to run it, they didn't go anywhere. Why?
We had poor performances up front. I guess that's a big part of it. You got to single out Isaac Seumalo is struggling on certain plays. You have individual breakdowns. But I feel like it needs to evolve. You know, right now, based on the snap numbers for these first few games, it's like Miles Sanders gets half the snaps and then the rest are split where Sproles gets the majority of the remainder and then you've got scraps going to Jordan Howard. I feel like that should be completely reversed. Jordan Howard is the proven commodity in this league, and he's the kind of guy who gets better the more carries he gets, as evidenced by the fact that he's averaged 17 a game for 3 years now and had a ton of success doing it. Why is he the afterthought in your backfield? I don't care what you run. I'm saying call run plays and leave them on, hand the ball to this guy, and let that offensive line get into a rhythm, develop a lather, get a feel for what the defensive line is doing and let them fire out on these guys. We are behind in the down and distance far too often because we show an unwillingness to run the ball consistently. And it just feels like there's an easy answer here. You know, give Jordan Howard, instead of 17 snaps, 18 snaps, give him 35. You know, give him the Miles Sanders snaps. Miles Sanders can be more of a change of pace guy. It's frustrating to watch the same thing over and over, the inside zone to Jordan Howard when it's not working because the D-line was getting the better of our interior last night.
And then there's the Goddard factor. No Goddard. So now you got Ertz.
Well, that must have changed a ton because it sounded like they were getting ready to run two tight ends a lot. You know, balance it up and run two tight ends and have those guys be featured as blockers, you know, particularly Dallas Goedert in the run game. And then he didn't play at all. So you have to throw out a lot of things. You go back to what you are most comfortable with, which is that inside zone, your staple.
Right.
And it just got very uncreative and very predictable. So I know that those DTs for the Falcons are good. They are not as good as we made them look last night. That's for sure. And last night, when the noise is a factor, throwing the ball is a lot harder than running it when noise comes into play. You can quiet a crowd by running the ball, by beating up on people. If you're an offensive lineman and you're pass protecting, you are, by the very definition of pass protection, retreating. You are catching. You are not attacking. These guys want to attack. They need to let them attack. And the best back to do that is Jordan Howard. Attack with him, and you'll be better off as the game progresses.
888-729-9494. And then there was the injury factor. We'll get into some more of that coming up next. Share the camera, John Ritchie on WIP.
John Ritchie here, and I used to lose weight for a living when I was playing football. It's never been easier than when I'm eating Nutrisystem for Men. It is just incredible. 3 weeks now I've been on this program. I've already lost 28 pounds, 3 inches off my waist size, and you can do it too. It's so easy because I get to eat the foods I love, pizza and burgers, chicken parm, ice cream. I love that I can load up my work bag in the morning with breakfast, a snack, a shake, my lunch, and these meals taste great and they're perfectly balanced to put my body in fat burning mode. You've got to try it. You can lose 18 pounds and 8 inches overall in your first month, money back guaranteed. Just go to Nutrisystem.com/men right now. Click on the radio icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Use the promo code Richie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E, to get $50 off plus a week of protein-packed shakes for free. Results vary. Offer restrictions apply. See website for details.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.